You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast. It is Thursday, June 21st, 2018, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to it on iTunes or Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes. We appreciate those who do so. We are in summer now. Today is the first day of summer. It's June 21st, and of course, we're in a very scaled back schedule on this show. Usually, we go 5 days a week during the season and the busier parts of the off season, but things have slowed down to the point where it's not a whole lot to talk about, so we're reducing our load of shows, our workload, until we get to training camp, and then once we're in training camp, we'll be back to 5 days a week. But today is Thursday, and usually we do a mailbag show. These are questions that were submitted in the comment section of gangrenenation.com. So let's jump on in. Our first question, is Hanson a wide receiver, a tight end, or both, sort of like a Nunwa? Yeah, and Nunwa is a guy who's kind of a hybrid between a tight end and a wide receiver, based on how the Jets have used him in the past. We'll see how they use him this year. But Hanson is a wide receiver. I'm not sure Hanson's a good enough blocker to be used the way Nunwa is used, because part of what the way the Jets have used Nunwa in the past, and again, I'm not sure that this is how they're going to use him this year. Maybe they will, maybe they won't use him this year, but they've used him as a run blocker quite a bit. The thing you have to remember about Nunwa is where he played in college. He played at Nebraska, and when he was at Nebraska, they ran a run-heavy offense it was an option offense. And I never heard their coach explicitly say this, but when you run an option offense, typically you'll hear the coach say something like, if you're a wide receiver, if you don't block, you're not going to be on the field, because a lot of the run plays in that system go far outside, and the wide receiver might have to throw a key block there. So the thing you have to acknowledge about Nunwa is that he played in an offense that forced him to develop as a blocker in college, and I think the Jets took advantage of that. And it's one of the smart things the Jets did. I think the coaching staff was smart to recognize that, and they added that little extra dimension to their offense by using Nunwa in that role. I don't think Hanson really is the same type of guy. I think he's similar to Nunwa in that, you know, he's pretty big, and I think he's a guy who can do some damage after the catch, who should be able to, at least that's what the scouting reports have suggested. That's the type of guy he was in college. So, you know, those are some similarities in how they perform as a receiver, but I'm not sure you're going to get the same type of blocking prowess out of Hanson that you have out of Nunwa. So I'd say he's more of a traditional wide receiver. He's not going to be a hybrid the way Nunwa was. Next question. What's the update on Devin Smith? And you may have forgotten who Devin Smith is. He was the second round pick the Jets made in 2015. He was actually Mike Maccagnan's second draft pick as Jets general manager. And Maccagnan's first draft pick was Leonard Williams, who's, it worked out pretty well. I think everybody would have to say Devin Smith has not worked out so well, though. It's not really Maccagnan's fault. He's a guy who just suffered a ton of injuries and just can't seem to get on the field. And these are, you know, major injuries. I'll tell you what Todd Bowles said, because Todd Bowles was asked about this a few weeks ago during OTA. So here's the update on Devin Smith. Bowles was asked, how close is Devin Smith to participating? Bowles said, I won't know until training camp. Was Devin Smith being held out for the spring during the offseason practices? Bowles said yes. So not much of an update. Then Bowles was asked, how much is Smith an unknown because of his injuries? Bowles said, that makes him a big unknown. He's injured and there's not much he can show when he's injured. Obviously, he's had some serious injuries. It's not his fault. Sometimes things like that happen. Until he gets out on the field, it's going to be an unknown. First and foremost, he has to get healthy, and then we'll judge him if he can get on the field. And then he was asked if Smith is facing an uphill battle with a crowded receiving corps. Bowles responded, it is crowded. It's the old saying, you can't make the club in the tub. But sometimes serious injuries happen and you can't get around them. He's doing everything he can to get back, so we'll see. So, not exactly a glowing review from Todd Bowles. He's not criticizing Smith, but if you are wondering whether Smith's going to make this team, that was not a glowing review. We'll see is not exactly an indication that this guy's heading to the roster by the time training camp ends. I think it's you can't make the club from the tub. That says it all right there. So Smith clearly faces an uphill battle. Bowles is still not sure about where he is physically. He's coming off another serious injury. You know, as a rookie, he really should not have played as much as he did as a rookie. But the Jets put him on. The Jets kept putting him on the field, and he did not produce much, which was not a big shock because I think the Jets knew this was a guy who was going to be in, or at least they should have known, this was a guy who was in need of some development. But he just hasn't been able to get on the field since he suffered an injury late his rookie season. Just multiple injuries have followed. So, the update is not so great right now for Devin Smith. Next question. Every year there's a guy not in the top of the draft class or undrafted free agent that I root for. Who are you pulling for in this year's, in the MAC class, and why? And the person who asked this said 2015 Bryce Petty was their guy, 2016 Brandon Schell was their guy, 2017 Chad Hansen was their guy, 2018 Perry Nickerson's their guy. Well, for this year, I think, and I don't know if this qualifies because this was still a relatively early round pick, but I mean, I think you have to root for the third round pick, Nathan Shepard. His story is pretty incredible. If you look at it, he bounced around some small schools. He worked various odd jobs as a younger guy, just to keep himself afloat financially, whether it was a bouncer, whether it was, doing other jobs that were, not easy jobs. And just kept chasing his dream, eventually found a place where he fit in, and got himself drafted in the third round. So, he's not a late-round pick, but just an incredible personal story. And I think that's one of the things we kind of forget. We always, and I definitely include myself, is we focus so much on the analysis of how a player fits in, how a player's performing, that it's easy to lose track of just the human element and how remarkable these guys are, every single one of them. You have to be a great player to be in an NFL training camp. And even if you're a guy who doesn't have a future in the, even if you're a guy who has no chance of making the roster, just to get to training camp, you're a great player. that means you were a great player in college. I mean, there are really good players in college who cannot get into an NFL training camp. So I think sometimes you have to appreciate the journey these guys go on to, how hard they work to develop their games. And I think that Nathan Shepard just takes it to another level because, you look at just the way the guy never gave up on his dream. It's a remarkable story. So I think that's the guy you pull for in this class because what a story it is. What a story. Not much of a segue, but Blue Chew, blue like the color BLUE, Chew, CHEW, brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and no more awkwardness are necessary. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they are cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, if you visit bluechew.com, that's BLUECHEW.com, you get your first shipment free when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. You just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BLUECHEW.com, promo locked on to try it for free. Our next question, is the defensive personnel on the team better suited for a 3-4 or a 4-3? I think in a lot of ways that debate, and it's a debate I hear a lot of when it comes to the Jets, it's kind of a relic of the past because the base defense in today's NFL really has five defensive backs on the field. So when you're talking 3-4 or 4-3, it's really more just how the player, what position the player, a lot of the players are listed at in the media guide. Is somebody a defensive end or an outside linebacker? Are they a defensive tackle or a defensive end? And that can shift depending on what the base defense is. But in reality, most defenses are playing five defensive backs at least on most plays. And most teams are showing you four-man fronts. They're showing you three-man fronts, you know, four-man defensive lines, three-man defensive lines. And that's what the Jets are doing as well. So I think the Jets are a hybrid defense. And this is a league where it's very – I think it's very rare at this point to see a team playing something that resembles a 4-3 100% of the time, something that resembles 3-4 100% of the time. You know, offenses are too complex in this day and age to just be that simplistic defensive. Defenses have to match that complexity. So I don't think that you really see that. I don't think the split is as pronounced as it used to be in this league. And Bowles' defense definitely is kind of a hybrid defense. So I think that I think that the question, it's a question that gets asked a lot. It's not necessarily the most important thing, though, in today's NFL. I think that in today's NFL, everybody's running a lot of different stuff on defense. So, you know, I don't know. I think the Jets are running a hybrid defense, and I think most teams are in the NFL. Next question. If things should happen to go south this year, not that I think it'll be so bad, much less that I want to see it happen, who will the Jets be tanking for? Well, to be honest with you, I think the Jets will probably look to trade down if, you know, in a scenario where the Jets end up with the number one overall pick, which I agree with you. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think in that scenario, you probably would see the Jets look to trade the pick the way the Tennessee Titans did a couple years ago. The Titans got Mariota 15-16. They had the worst record in the league. They ended up with the number one overall pick, and they traded out of the pick. And what they did was they ended up taking a tackle after they traded. I think they traded up again after they traded. I think they traded up after they traded down. But, you know, they were able to add a few extra picks to build their team around the quarterback. And I think that's what the Jets will do, especially with no second-round picks this year, no second-round picks in 19. I think the Jets will look to add more picks. So I'm not sure it's necessarily going to be a player. I think that, you know, I think the two obvious positions that the Jets are going to have to fill are edge rusher and left tackle, because those are the two real cornerstone spots. Those are two spots where you just can't find players in free agency, and very rarely is a good guy at either of those positions either going to hit free agency or be available in a trade, because that player's team wants to keep them, because those are valuable commodities. So I think you'd see the Jets look to trade down, and then you'd look to see them add a pass rusher or a left tackle. But I think more than anything, what the Jets, if I don't think the Jets will tank, but in the situation where the Jets are really bad this year, they would look to trade down, because now that you've got the quarterback, it's a whole different ball game. You know, last year, the 18, you had to trade up because you had to get the quarterback. Now that you've got the quarterback, the focus is building around him, acquiring as many quality pieces as possible to build this roster up to a point where it can compete for a Super Bowl. Next question. Do the Jets have a field goal kicker comparable to Chandler Cantazaro this year? Yeah, I think they do. I think Cairo Santos, who they signed from Kansas City, could be just as good, if not better. And I think the Jets were smart with how they dealt with the kicker position. And this is something that, like, I've argued for years, and people disagree with me. And one of these days, you people are going to realize that I'm right on this one. You know, usually I try and be humble with my opinion, but this is one I really believe in. Is, you know, people really, teams overrate how difficult it is to find a kicker. Every single year you find some team that, you know, their kicker gets hurt and they're able to sign a guy in season who does a great job. It's not that hard to find a kicker. And here's the other thing to know is the Jets signed Cantazaro and they let Nick Folk go. And there were all kinds of people upset. I kept hearing all offseason, well, just wait, just watch. Nick Folk's going to be better than Cantazaro. And what happens? Folk goes to Tampa, is terrible. Here's the thing to remember, and people were upset that the Jets signed Cantazaro because he was coming off a bad year in Arizona. In 2016, he was 21 out of 28. It was 75% on his field goal attempts. That's not good. That's pretty bad. But here's the thing is, the 2 years before that, he was 87.9 and he was 90.3. Now, this bad year, 2016, he had 28 field goal attempts, made 21, 75%, 21 out of 28. So not very good. Now, just think about that for a second. if he had made 25 out of 28, then we're talking about a guy who's just around 90%. Just a little under 89%. That's excellent. Now think about what that means. So instead of being 21 for 28, he'd be 25 for 28. That's four kicks over the course of a season. So that's like one field goal a month that he made instead of he missed. And that's the point here is when you look at the kicker position, think about that. Four kicks is the difference between being a bad kicker and a great kicker. One kick a month, making one kick a month instead of missing one kick a month. So if you think about that, if you get into a slump for like 1 or 2 weeks, it can destroy your season because that's four kicks. You know, say you miss 3 1 week, one the next week. That destroys your entire stat line for the season. And in Cantazzaro's case in 2016, if you followed Arizona, their long snapper situation killed them. I mean, it sounds ridiculous to say, but if you actually watch that team, for some reason I watched a lot of Arizona in 2016. I don't know why, but I did. That long snapper situation killed their kicking game. And that was a big part of Cantanzaro's struggles. And this is the point I try to make, is every year, you know, and most teams have a reliable kicker because, again, it's so easy to find one that, you know, their team will end up paying them, you know, multi-million dollar contracts. And I'll say, like, well, why don't you just go find somebody else? Well, you don't want to take that risk. You know, when you have somebody reliable, well, first of all, it's really not hard to find somebody reliable. But second of all, this guy you think is reliable, he's just as liable to go into like a 2-3 week slump as anybody else, and then his season's destroyed, and he could end up being just as bad that year, and then he'll bounce back the next year. So I think what the Jets did was smart. They let Nick Folk go, and I go back to 2009. All the people that were getting upset about Folk, the Jets letting Folk go last year, I'm sure they were the same people, because I heard the same thing after 2009 when the Jets let Jay Feely go and they signed Folk, and Folk was coming off a terrible year in Dallas. So I don't know why. I feel like I'm getting very passionate about this, and I probably shouldn't be this passionate about kickers, but that, you know, there were lots of people who were upset because Feely was a reliable kicker. Folk was coming off a bad year. That, you know, it was this doom. Doom's going to come. Folk came in, did a fine job. Then they let Folk go. Cantazzaro comes in, does a fine job. And they were smart because Tampa Bay gave Cantazzaro a crazy contract. And, you know, if you want to talk about just how many resources you should allocate for a kicker, just look at there's no team in the NFL over the last few years that's dedicated more resources to the kicker position than Tampa Bay. And no team's gotten worse results. They traded up to get in the second round to take a kicker who was terrible. They gave Folk a pretty good size deal. Now they gave Cantazzaro a huge deal. And I bet you anything at the end of the year, the Jets will get results that are just as good, paying much less. And, you know, it doesn't seem like a lot of money when you pay a kicker $3, $4 million, but, you know, if you pay a kicker $3, $4 million instead of $1 million, that could end up making a difference on your team, because it's not necessarily that you'll go out and sign a player with that $2 to $3 million. And the extra money that you have by not paying a kicker big bucks. But it could be the difference between, you know, say you have a valuable role player, a valuable starter who, you know, you can keep if you pay $8 million, but your team can only afford $6 million. Well, that extra $2, $3 million might help you keep that player. It might help you keep a guy you really want to have on your team. So, you know, these are important things to consider. But yeah, I think Cairo Santos could be as good, or if not better, than Cantazzaro. And I don't begrudge Cantazzaro. Good for him that he got that contract. You know, nothing but respect to him. That, you know, I certainly don't get upset with him that he took the money. I'd take the money too if Tampa Bay was willing to pay me that. So, but in the long story short, I think the Jets are okay at the kicker position. Thank you for listening today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe to it on either iTunes or Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes. Hope you have a great Thursday. We'll talk again next time.